Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, very excited that you're joining me this week. So my motivational quote today is by Martin Buber, and he says, "An animal's eyes have the power to speak a great language." Now, we all have many roles we need to play in our lives, right? We all have a ton of responsibilities to people that we connect with every day. So we have parents, kids, teachers, employees, bosses, and just the list goes on and on. So do you find it hard to be your authentic self? And maybe you hide behind your roles and responsibilities just to get through the day. So nobody really knows who you are. Well, to better understand how to navigate life and make that path, I think, just easier and, of course, a lot more fun, which is real important, would you be interested to learn how to use animals to gain clarity in your everyday life? What if I told you that your spirit animals might have the answers that you've been craving and seeking? And what if I told you my guest today is going to help us with that? What? Am I crazy? No, I'm not. So today we're in store for a huge treat. My guest, she's second time on the show, Sarah Bamford Seidelman, shares, she has a new book out. It's called The Book of Beasties, Your A to Z Guide to the Illuminating Wisdom of Spirit Animals. Now, Sarah was a physician living a nature-starved, hectic lifestyle, right, like we probably all do, until a walrus entered her life and changed everything. She's trained at the Martha Beck Institute and Michael Harner's Foundation for Shamanic Studies and is the author of Swimming with the Elephants, that was her first book, and now The Book of Beasties, Your A to Z Guide to Illuminating Wisdom of Spirit Animals. She lives with her family in northern Minnesota, and she's with us today, which I'm happy to say. So please help me welcome my very interesting, very fun guest, Sarah Bamford Seidelman, to the show. So Sarah, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Connie. I am thrilled to be here.
Yeah, and you know, I was writing the introduction to Sarah, and I'm like, she's not just an ordinary guest. So I had to put, you're definitely interesting, but you're absolutely fun. And I think the book is just a fun tool that we can use every day in our lives. So that's an awesome, for me, that's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's what I was hoping it would. I know for me, a lot of these ideas were so foreign to me that, like, how could an animal, like, teach me anything? I guess I'd been raised in this, I mean, you know, not totally that, I wasn't quite that far gone, but, you know, how could I learn something important about how to navigate my life from noticing what animals are crossing my path? That just didn't make any sense to me. It seemed crazy. I mean, being a physician, it was just so far from my frame of reference. But what I learned was, man, they had a lot to teach me. Yeah.
Share briefly. I know everybody, first of all, you should go back and listen to the first show. Sarah and I go through her first book, which kind of gives you the background of Sarah moving from physician, you know, money being tight after you left, right, your job to start on this adventure. Share the walrus story, because I think I put that in the introduction, but I think that was a shifting point for you. And I think that'll help everyone. And then we'll jump into this book.
Yeah, so that summer I had taken a sabbatical from medicine, and we had downsized our house just so that we would have the financial freedom so I could take 3 months off to just explore, because I was really unhappy at work and just not sure what the heck was going on with me. And I discovered this ancient idea that animals could have messages for us. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to open up and see what's showing up. And I was at this little shop in my downtown, and there was this taxidermied walrus hanging on the wall. Like, the head's like this big. And I don't know what it was about that walrus, but I was just riveted. And in fact, I went back that summer a couple different times to visit it. And I was like, what is your message for me? Like, I feel like, even though it wasn't alive, I mean, so the beasties do not have to be alive. They can show up in many different ways. This is how it showed up for me. But so I went and I did a little research about walruses, and I watched a video of all these walruses, like, collected on a beach. And I noticed, for one thing, walruses are pretty darn relaxed. Like, they were all like, you know, just kind of like, you know, just flung all over the beach. And they didn't seem to be, like, anxiously worried about, you know, having a glass too many Chardonnays the other night and saying something they shouldn't have. And they didn't seem anxious about the future. They were just being walruses and accepting themselves. So that seemed the one thing. And then the second thing I learned about them is that they are apex predators, which means they have little or no competition in the natural world. Like, the only beastie that will give a walrus any challenge would be like a polar bear. And they don't tend to like challenging each other because it's often not pleasant encounter.
Okay.
So how I took that was, should I decide to do something else, perhaps like maybe leave medicine and become a life coach or become a writer, that maybe I too would have no competition if I could manage to be myself and relax and be Sarah, you know, like these walruses seem to be doing. And so that's kind of an example of the way I started to get or receive these messages or sort of decode these messages from the beasties.
You know, Sarah, this is the thing, the show. People say to me, what do you want to accomplish with the show? And for me, I think that we plug through life and we narrow our vision, right? We put those blinders on just to get through the day. And we never stop to really hear, and I think this is what's going on in our world today, but we never stop to hear another perspective. Even if, like, people are listening going, animals, what? This is crazy. Okay, maybe you think this is crazy, but listen to the whole show, and maybe your perspective will open from here to here. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing, because as soon as we could start to shift our perspective and just let a glimpse of something that we don't believe or we think is crazy or that can't be, and we let that creep in, maybe there's other possibilities. So that's really my hope for the show, is to share folks like yourself, Sarah, and books like you've written, so that people could just understand a different perspective and how to look at life and have more fun, because I just think we're in misery. I don't know, right?
Yeah, I think if nothing else, one of the things that really just started to happen is I just started to pay attention. And as you know, as poet Mary Oliver says, you know, instructions for life, pay attention, be astonished by it, you know, because when you start noticing beasties, just looking around your yard or just starting to be curious, like, what beasties are coming into my life? I mean, they're incredible. You know, they just kind of knock your socks off.
And the message. I loved how you set the book up. Which, let me just hold it up, because of course I have it right here. The book is really kind of cool, because it's almost like an encyclopedia format, which I personally love. So I have it in my office so I can refer to it and look up that animal that, you know, crosses my path that day or is a recurring event where I keep seeing the same animal. Before we go further, though, beastie. Never heard that expression till I met you, my friend. How did you come up with that beastie instead of just your animal guides?
Well, I think it was when I started talking to more and more people and starting to work with people, and I had a podcast about animal spirits, animal totems. I realized that it could encompass anything from a ladybug to more mythical things like phoenix or a Pegasus or a dragon. Like, and so beastie kind of nicely covered every single kind of creature. Because when you talk about animals, usually most people are thinking about mammals or something, you know, that's got fur. So that's what I loved. And it was a little bit more playful and magical feeling. And I think that's really what I wanted this book to be, is an invitation to this more playful. Because when I was feeling so down, and I know we all go through these, you know, we lose a job, we get a diagnosis, something happens to just completely shift how we thought. You know, we were going through life with blinders, and suddenly the blinders get ripped, the Band-Aid gets ripped off, and we are like in misery. And that's where I was. And I'm like, one day I'm going to write a book that's really going to just invite people into this buoyancy and this lightness, because that's what the beasties really did for me, is they helped me to be able to laugh at some of my foibles and also sometimes just smile, because some of the messages were so funny. Like, I remember a friend who's a cardiologist, I explained this whole concept to her, and she called me one day and she goes, "You're not going to believe it. I got this amazing message from a beastie." I'm like, "What was it?" She's like, "I was driving to an outreach clinic and I was just in a worst mood ever. And I see this huge pond with all these geese, and they're all face down, heads down in the water, but their butts are up." And she said, I finally got it, Sarah. They were mooning me. They were just, you know, they were just like, get over yourself. Like, you know, just trying to lighten me up a little. So it's just stuff like that can be so so simple, you know, but profound, you know, because when we can laugh, we can just go, okay.
We take a breath. Yeah, we take, as you said, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a cardiologist. And my instinct was, boy, I would love to have heard that conversation, because she probably, when you first introduced the Beasties, I bet she was like, okay, do we need to take you to the psychiatric wing of the hospital, right? Like, what is she talking about? So it's interesting, if a scientific person like a cardiologist, like yourself, a physician, you're a physician by trade, can shift their thinking to this more interesting realm, fun realm, we all could use it. So my next question, now in the book you talk about the core beasties and also a guest beastie. What are the questions to ask yourself when the different type of beasties show up? So can you define that and kind of guide us with that?
Yeah, so guest beasties are kind of those creatures that show up in our life for maybe a day or a few weeks or maybe a period of time, just to teach us something or show us something, like those geese, you know, who are mooning my friend, a reminder, hey, lighten up, Francis.
Absolutely.
Life isn't too bad.
Yeah.
So they show up just to give us some sort of teaching or lesson. Core beasties are sort of what I like to think of as a life, you know, a beastie that sort of walks with you during your whole lifetime. Some people call these power animals. That's a really common way to hear them spoken about. And so, you know, the spiritual essence of that animal is something that's with you for your whole life. And so if you're curious who that might be, and this is so marvelous to discover, because when you discover who yours is, it's like you begin to really totally love and accept yourself and see all the parts of you and the beauty of them through that animal. So they can kind of teach you about how wonderful you are through how amazing they are. So the good questions to ask yourself are, you know, was there an animal that when you were a kid that you were obsessed with? Did you have a special stuffed animal? Were you nicknamed, Froggy, or, you know, sometimes it's really funny, like it's hiding in plain sight, like we've been called this name our whole lives. And another way is to, if you're an adult, obviously, is to kind of become like a detective in your own home. Pretend you don't live there and look around and go, now, if this person had a spirit animal, a core beastie, what would it be? Because sometimes that, again, it's hiding in plain sight. I remember we had a caller into our podcast, and he's like, I just want to know who is my core beastie. And we're like, okay, well, have you asked these questions? He's like, yes. And we're like, he's like, I just can't figure it out. Because he was really trying to do it from a mental place, which is really not how we do these things. But I had so much empathy because I've been there.
Sure.
So he said, well, look around your house. And he said, oh my gosh. And we're like, what? And he's like, over my fireplace is this enormous painting of a wolf. And he just, you could just tell, like he had this amazing aha. And he knew in that moment, that's it, you know, and it that's how you'll know. It just kind of falls on you. It'll feel soft like a feather. It'll feel real. And it isn't something often that we discover. Some people do know in 30 seconds, you know, and some people, it might take a few months. This isn't like in our society, we want to like, who's my core beastie? I want to know now so I can get, you know, figure my life out. But sometimes it's a process.
Absolutely.
And if you're like me, I was sort of like the guy on the podcast, really stuck in my head, because at the time when I was learning all these things, I was very intellectual, super left brain focused, you know, being in medicine all those years. So what I ended up doing was going on a guided journey, a drumming journey. So a drum is it's something that's ancient and been around in all of our cultures for, we think, like 50,000 years.
Wow.
But when you beat the drum at a certain beat, it helps you to kind of relax and go into this, like a deep, deep meditation. And you can get guided. So anyway, I listen to a guided meditation. And if somebody else is listening and wants to do this too, they can go to my website and get a free download if they subscribe to my newsletter. So I went on this journey, and that's when I discovered my first core beastie, which was my mother bear. And she rubbed my back and said, Sarah, she took me into her, like, I call it a cave-like conference room. And she sort of rubbed my back and said, Sarah, like, where you're going, it's not that far. And just enjoy the journey. And she's really comforting. And it said that the spirit animals, these core beasties, they share the love and compassion of the universe with us. And That's how they empower us. So it's not like power, like creepy power to be in charge of other people or something like that. It's the power to be who you are and do what you came here to do.
Absolutely. And it's a good, and it's our, like, it's our personal guide. So I think that's the important component, that the different animals have a different message depending on who you are, what you're missing. And I think they give us the guidance. How do you access the hidden information that you wouldn't normally access by connecting to the message through of the beastie? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do we access that?
So you're like, maybe you've seen a beastie and you're wondering, how do I know what is their message for me?
Right.
Kind of, how do we get the message? So it's kind of a couple-step process. So the first is just to ask yourself, like, what's been on my mind the last 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, oh my gosh, I have to finish my divorce paperwork and I've been avoiding it. Or maybe it's like, oh, if I have to deal with that guy at work again, you know, whatever it is, or I'm having struggle with one of my kids, whatever the issue is. So just be clear on what that issue is. And then notice, how was this beastie showing up? You know, maybe it doesn't really matter how it comes. It could come through a Facebook video. It come through a dream. It can come as a taxidermied beastie across your path. How is this beastie acting and what was it doing? You know, for example, maybe you saw a squirrel walking carefully, like on a tightrope, on a power line. I remember seeing that one day. And that day I was trying to figure out how to relate to these different groups of people. And what I realized is that the squirrel had this like incredible balance, like an acrobat, you know, so balanced. And to do that, he had to be really centered and focused. And I thought, that's kind of what I have to do today to get along with these two kind of warring parties, is I need to be like really centered in myself so I can walk this tightrope of like not being too much one way or the other way. So that's kind of an example. Sometimes things just come to mind, like maybe, for example, you are dealing with, somebody who intimidates you at work, let's just say, and you happen to be seeing tigers. Maybe you have an association of tigers being really powerful and really fierce. It might be just, you know, a simple invitation for you to tap into that inner strength of, you know, to call upon tiger, that fierceness and strength in you. There's so many examples I could give. Let me give one more to kind of throw people, just one more. When I was on my sabbatical that summer, I got this strong, irregular urge to like write a book, which seemed like I haven't been writing since college. I don't even know how to do that. You know, like, how does one write a book? Really frustrated, kind of like, I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it. Sometimes we have those really strong urges, but no understanding of the hows. Absolutely. So that day I was like, show me a beastie that's going to help me. And so I went out on a walk and I just, so sometimes you can actually just ask, please universe, send me a beastie to help me. Well, that day I was just like, dang, like I was hoping for a hawk or something majestic to like soar in and show me something. But the only thing I really noticed that day were these little ants that were walking across the sidewalk. And so I went home and I wrote in my journal, it's like, okay, here's my question. Like, how do I write this book? And then all I saw were these ants. And then I was like, well, what were they doing? Well, they were carrying like a tiny little itty bitty grain of sand across the sidewalk to this other pile. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, ants build these massive castles, but they don't do it in one day. And they don't do it alone either. Right. And that was a big thing for me. So I went home that day. I was like, what it feels like moving a grain of sand. I opened up a file and I wrote, you know, I named the title of the book, like whatever I thought it was going to be. And then the next day I made a phone call to somebody who I thought might help me organize my thoughts, because I realized I can't do this alone. And I would have never had that insight. I could have just stayed for, who knows, 10 years stuck going, how do I write a book? I don't know how to write a book. But it's like, these beasties just showed me, because nature knows it doesn't live in resistance. Like Deepak Chopra says, the grass doesn't try to grow. It just grows.
Yes.
Ants don't try to build a castle. They just
do it.
Moving the sand every day.
Okay. So a couple of things you said, I'm cracking up over here. So I agree. I think that, you know, we were down the shore this past weekend and we were talking about there are more and more hawks. We don't know why. And this one hawk just kept gliding and gliding and gliding. It was the most majestic thing. So all of a sudden, now because of your book, I'm hyper aware of, like, what is that message? And for me, it was with business and the kids and my parents. And, you know, there's so many layers of responsibilities and people who need you, right? And I watched that hawk and I thought, just glide. Like, it should not be resistance every day. It just go with the flow. And that's kind of what I got from that. The other, so that was number one that I was laughing at.
Beautiful.
Saying total message of, you need to chill out, woman, and just glide, because when we are in flow, we're not in resistance and we actually become more productive. We're clearer. We do more. The other thing I'm cracking up, you use the tiger as an example. That, I believe, is my core beastie. I have, from a little kid, if we would go to a zoo, I was drawn to watch the tiger, because they're so calm in their demeanor. And when they walk, they're very majestic. They're very beautiful creatures. The funny thing is, I'm allergic to cats. You wonder. But the tiger for me, and I dream frequently of tigers. The mama, the papa, and then the baby cubs, because I'm fiercely protective of people that I care about. Like, you don't mess with mine, because I'll hurt you. No, I really won't hurt you. But I'm very, very protective. But I'm also, I believe, a strong personality. But I'm strong in the way that I want to protect people who are the underdog, because I feel like they don't know how to find their voice. And that sometimes I think is my mission, to help them find their inner strength. So that was weird that you just chose a tiger as one of your examples. I'm like, she's in my head.
And sometimes that's how it works, I swear. Like, there's so much magic involved in this. Every time I host a class or work with people, I mean, just, you can't make the things up that happen. Somebody told me an amazing story about how she had her core beastie was a buck, like a, you know, with huge antlers, just that she had known since childhood. It all just felt sacred to her. One day she was driving on it was a really difficult drive, and she was scared to death. Like, it was just, I think it was icy, or there was just a lot of stress. But anyway, she was terrified. And then we've all had those moments where it just comes out of left field, you know what I mean? We are just scared or something's going on. And she said, please, you know, give me a sign that you're here with me. I need your help. You know, so she just called upon Buck. And it's like, it's, you know, kind of whispered in her ear. We all perceive these things differently, but it kind of whispered in her ear, I'm here. I'm always here. And she's like, but I don't feel you. I don't see you. So she's like looking like, where are you? You know, he said, look right in front of you. And she's looking on the road like, oh my God, am I going to hit a deer? Like, why am I so scared? What's going on? And then she looked and she realized that the car in front of her was a Buick with the eye missing. So B-U-C-K
right in front of her. Oh my God.
And she was just like, honestly, like, there's story after story.
I love it.
There's story like these things that you just honestly cannot, and
you,
this is the way
up,
like, the divine comes in and just comes to comfort us and calm us. And there's so many amazing stories about people who've lost loved ones who they know have shown up in their garden as a hummingbird or other, you know, birds are pretty frequently messengers, you know, just a reminder that that person is okay and that things are okay, you know.
Absolutely. So, now I have another question. So can a core beastie be your cat or dog?
Great question. I always tell people that I think cats and dogs are like some of our best teachers, because they are, again, so present. But one thing I've heard and learned from other people is that, you know, cats and dogs, because they're under our tutelage, you know, so they're sort of domesticated. Like, we kind of decide when they get to eat, when they don't get to eat. You know, we force them to behave, go in their kennel, whatever. Wild animals are completely free. And ultimately, I think that's why it's really powerful to work with the spirit of a wild animal, because they live really, well, ideally, and sometimes there's situations where they're not completely free, but ideally, they're completely free. And so, and living, so that's why, you know, we say, so if you're only interested in dogs, though, like, let's just say you're really obsessed with dogs and no other wild animals appeal, you might want to just check out wolf, like, if, and just investigate, or wild dog, and see a little bit about, like, maybe watch a documentary about them, learn a little bit more about their lives and how they do things. because some of those things that they do might be powerful, you know, metaphorically for you to apply to your life. For example, wolves are not sprinters. You know, they're very methodical sort of marathoners, so they tend to they can run for a long time at a like 4 to 5 mile an hour pace. Like they can, so if you feel like you work with, you know, if wolves are appealing to you right now and you feel drawn to them, you know, maybe it's that you need to kind of steady your pace. They also tend to be very creatures of routine and habit. So they'll run the same sort of trails in the woods over and over every day, checking on different things, marking different things. So you might want to create some routines to support yourself.
See, and this is the thing. And let me just talk about the book again for a second, obviously, because I read it. The front part gives you a lot of this information that we're discussing on the show. And then the second part of the book literally is an encyclopedia. So it's an A through Z, and you go through all the animals. So everybody can just go to their animal. So if the wolf is appealing to you, or you think, yes, what is my lesson that I have to learn? You would just go to the wolf. And then, Sarah, you have under it, you have the kind of an overview of the animal, and then yep. you have different subtopics. Like one was your vocation. Talk about that for a second, so people understand what's in the book too.
Yeah. So we wanted to have people a lot of ways to access it and ways to play. So like if Seahorse has its one major page, which is all about like why Seahorse might be showing up in your life, generally speaking, then there's some affirmations related to Seahorse, like remain anchored here and now, nowhere to go but inward. And then on the second page, we have vocation, health, a beastly practice you can try, relating to other people, and love relationships. So, you know, maybe the issue you're struggling with has to do with work. You can just immediately go and read that section and go, okay, you know, why white the seahorse, you know, what might it be trying to help me with work? And you can read the specific message. Because, you know, we're all encountering so many different issues and challenges we have to face and areas of resistance, like you said. And so this provides lots of different opportunities. And you could also use this as like a weekly practice, like do a beastie every week and just welcome the message in, and then you could play with the practices that are given. A lot of them tie into yoga, meditation. Some are different things you can do, creative projects you can do too. So lots of different ways to access.
You know, like it was funny. I'm just going to go back to your example with the ants with writing the book, right? That one little piece of sand at a time. So you can use the book just as you described, Sarah, so that you know, if it's a trouble at work, what is that beastie that's showing up or that is, you know, repeatedly coming forward for you? Look that up. Look under vocation. The next week, you know, I was telling Sarah before we started the show, we recently moved and I have a sliding door and windows to my right in the office. And all of a sudden I saw movement outside and I was like, oh, who's there? And it was a turkey. No idea why. Have not seen it before. Have not seen it since. But what was the message from the turkey for that particular day? So again, having the beastie book, it gives you a reference point to go and check and say, what should I open myself up to? What important message am I missing today? I don't know, but when you go in and you look in the book and you look up that specific animal that's kind of in your space or is in your dreams or whatever it might be, the book gives just really good insight on how to use it or how to explore. And I think, Sarah, again, my understanding is use the book for your inner exploration, but also we can use that as a mirror to how we engage with other people in our relationships, right? So the beasties can improve our human relationships too.
Totally. Right. Yeah. And let me tell you more about that in a minute, but I was going to say too, and when you look at these things, I always tell people, you know, take what you like and leave the rest. This is all just, you know, for you to consider and then always put it through your own heart or your own truth meter for what's true for you. But yes, oh my gosh, one of the most awesome things about the beasties is that once you've discovered your own core beastie, maybe you want to explore it with your kids or your grandchildren or your partner or your group of girlfriends. it is just so incredible what you can learn about people and also how to understand and really respect that person in a totally different level. I'll give an example from my children, like, and kids are amazing because when they're, I'd say if they're like under 10, 11 years old and you just ask them, who is your favorite wild animal? Often they will just tell you. And, you know, you wouldn't even have to go into a huge discussion about core beasties or anything, but they're telling you something really important, something about that beast. They really admire that beastie. And for example, one of my kids is a real fan of large cats, like jaguars. And I remember just having this massive aha because in those years, this was like 8 years ago, I was like, why don't you want to come down and play Candyland with us? Like, we're popping popcorn and we're playing Justin Bieber and we're having a big party. And he's just like, no thanks, you know, like, and it's just that, you know, jaguars really thrive on recharging their batteries in quiet and solitude. They don't hang out in packs of 10 jaguars. They really get strength from being with themselves. And so I began to respect that about him. Like, whereas, you know, for example, like if you've got a kid who's a walrus, they tend to be pretty gregarious. Like, they like to hang out on a beach with like 100 other walruses, no problem. So it might help you understand things that have formerly kind of confounded you about a person. Or even a friend, it's like you might learn, oh, no wonder they don't want to deal with all these details. They're a hawk. You know, hawks tend to like to have this really high up perspective, kind of this sky high perspective, and getting really into the nitty gritty might not be their deal. And so then you start to have maybe more patience with them when you're like, but what about if I make, should we stay 2 days or 1 day at the hotel, or do you care if it's a queen or a king? And they're just like, I don't really care. It's not that they don't care and love you. It's just that they're way up here like, we're going to a hotel. I see it. Okay, cool.
You know? You decide.
You decide. It doesn't bother me. So it's really profound, and it's also a very intimate thing. So I always say, you know, if you do discover that, if somebody's willing to share that information with you about them, it's pretty sacred personal information. So be sure to like hold that with care or ask for permission if it's okay to talk about that.
Absolutely. You know? I would think we're out of time, but I do have one more question or one more observation because we're talking about relationships. For married couples, right, spouses or significant others, if they're living together, let's say, I guess what you just described with the friend, it would kind of be a nice tool to use with your significant other so that you don't frustrate each other. You know, significant other, you're living together, you're together a lot. We get on each other's nerves, right? I mean, my husband drives me crazy. I drive him crazy. I know it.
Of course.
But the beastie we can use as yet another tool to help with our communication, but also to help keep that annoyance at bay because it's a level of understanding, right? I would think this is a great tool.
It's amazing. Like my husband, for example, at the time when I was, again, discovering these things, the one I was asking him, like, who's your favorite beastie? He's like, I don't know. He didn't really want to share that with me, which I understand. But I did notice one thing. He had this snowy owl, like, hanging over his desk, you know, which is, we make choices, right? We make design choices. I didn't buy him a snowy owl. He bought that. So I thought it was really interesting because what I learned about, I began to investigate and get to know snowy owls. And one of their great strengths is that they will just sit in stillness for a very, very long time. Like, they do not waste a lot of energy. And when they're ready, they will go hunt for whatever they're going to go get, but they are not like flapping here, flapping there, running around. Whereas I contrasted that with elephants who tend to be very sensitive, very emotional, very prone to like flapping their ears and, you know, getting all, and, you know, like, oh, like trumpet, you know. And so here's me, this, because that's another one. I have two core beasties that I would say that I work with. And that's a whole nother topic, more beasties, but start with one. So here's Snowy Owl, like when we're trying to make a decision, he's just sitting very quiet, waiting for the right time. Whereas I'm like, let's make a decision. So it just made me start to understand that's just the way he is. And there's a beauty to that. There's a strength and power to that.
Definitely.
And that's probably why we're together, to help each other balance those things.
Absolutely. My husband is definitely the polar opposite of me. He balances me, calms me. I think he's the hawk because he just, He's just very, he likes detail, so he wouldn't be the hawk. I have to ask him that question. Isn't that funny? But he's...
Well, and that's when, you know, how you interpret it is totally perfect, too.
That's true, right? See, perception is reality. That's the point of the show. So I love it. We're out of time. If you would like more information, and Sarah, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to give you the website. It's www.followyourfeelgood.com. Do you have the download for the meditation on that platform?
Yes. If you subscribe, you will get a link which will take you to the meditation.
Awesome. So it's followyourfeelgood.com. Maybe that's a really nice place to start. I highly recommend the book. Just because honestly, I keep it here on my desk so that if I'm inspired or an animal comes into my path for the day, I'm now open after meeting Sarah and reading the two books to say, let me reflect. What should I be focusing on today? Or what is my lesson? Or should I calm down? Or do I need to push the envelope and move forward? It's just a little guidance. I almost feel like we have sonar with this book. You know, it's like almost a guidance system for the day to day, Sarah. That's kind of how I'd like to look at the book. So again, follow your feel good, subscribe. Get the download, find your core beastie, and then obviously buy the book. It's a cool book, and you could use it with your kids too. It's not, the other thing I wanted to mention before we go, Sarah, is you did a ton of research. This isn't just makeup stuff. You did tons and tons and tons of research about each of the animals and then broke it out by those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to share that as well. This isn't fictional. This is true. Again, you're a scientist, right? You're a physician. So there's a lot of research that went into the book as well. So I probably should have mentioned that early on. Guys, if you need to reach me, you need help with business, you need help with sales, anything like that, or you want me to cover a specific topic on the show, email me, Connie@WhitmanAssoce.com. I will respond directly. Also, my partner and I still offering free communication style assessment. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com. Right on that landing page is the free assessment. Take it. You get a little report, and it gives you a little insight how you show up, your strengths and your challenges in your day-to-day communication. Again, Sarah's email, followyourfeelgood.com. Sarah, thank you so much for being on again and for just sharing such a fun topic, but deep at the same time. So I kind of like the double edge of that.
Thank you so much, Connie. It has been a delight.
always hanging out with you is a delight for me. So thanks for being on. You guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together just how to challenge ourselves and grow and embrace change and realize that it's possible and probably easier than we think. Today, Sarah explored with us another tool to help you embrace that change. So again, buy the book, the Book of Beasties, your A to Z guide to, I'm reading it, Illuminating Wisdom of Spirit Animals. That's why I looked to the side. Apologize for that. Thank you all. Thank you, Sarah. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful, inspired week, and see what animals speak to you. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.